Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, again we bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We come before you, Father, with trembling hearts. We love you and we thank you, Father, and we ask as we come before you this day on the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, the memorial of blowing of the shofar, the trumpets, Father, that we ask that you would look to your servants, that you would not judge us, Father, guilty, that you would watch over us, that you would bless us, that you would forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed against you. Father, we know that this starts the 9 days of awe. As we look into our personal closets, as we look, Father, into the mirror of Yahshua the Messiah and see how short we fall when we come before you, we know, Father, that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we ask, Father, that you would cleanse us, that you would wash our sins and cast them into the deepest parts of the sea. Again, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, to gain the knowledge that we need, Father, to draw closer to you so that on the Day of Atonement we can be at one with you. So forgive us, Father, as we humble our hearts before your throne of grace this day, that we would not look to each other, but look to ourselves and our own sin, Father. Forgive us and help us and raise us up, lift us up, Father, as we lift up the trumpet and blow, Father, before you. We ask, Father, that you would look out for each one of us and that you would forgive each one of us as we ask for forgiveness for our sins. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. Our message today is entitled, The Trumpet of Yahweh. We're going to start in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, verse 23. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel in the seventh month, on the first day of the month shall be a solemn rest to you, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, no regular labor, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. We've taken up the offering, we've blown the trumpet, but we need to look into this a little closer, brethren. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. Now, over in Numbers 10, we see the passage starting in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, make yourselves two trumpets of silver, of beaten work, you shall make them, and you shall use them for the calling of the congregations and for the journeying of the camps. So these aren't the ram's horns. These are silver trumpets. And these silver trumpets were made for the calling of the congregation and of the journeying of the camps. When Moses was commanded to make copies of those things that were in heaven, for the tabernacle, he made copies of that which was real, the created, that which was in heaven. These two trumpets represent the calling of Yahweh's people. And when they shall blow them, in verse 3, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the door of the tent of meeting. So now we don't have the tent of meeting when the temple was in vogue, when the temple shall be rebuilt, each one of us being a part of that temple that have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important for us to be baptized in Yahshua's name. Because the calling together of Yahweh's people to come together is going forth. Now that calling is to bring the people to the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles represents eternal life. It represents the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, who's going to be called to the kingdom of Yahweh? Israel was called to the Holy Land. That was their thing. They were seeking to be in that land of milk and honey. But we seek to be in a different type of land. We want to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, with the last great day representing eternity. So as these trumpets are blown and the calling of the assembly, to come to Yahweh's feet. In verse 4 it says, and if they blow but one, then the princes, the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves to you, the leadership. And when you shall blow an alarm, the camps that lie on the east side shall take their journey. And when you shall blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound the alarm. So when we are coming together to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, it's not an alarm that's being sounded. But the alarm is going forth, brethren, because the tribulation is soon going to be upon this land. It's going to be upon this earth. And Yahweh's people have to be gathered prior because they're going to be sealed by the angel before that tribulation starts. In verse 8, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpet. And they shall be to you for a statute forever throughout your generation. When you go to war in your land, against the adversary that oppresses you. And who oppresses you today, brother? Is it not Satan the devil? Is he not the one trying to corrupt you? Is he not the one trying to get you to sin, to just like he did Eve, to walk away from Yahweh? Think about it. See, a lot of people, one of the greatest things Satan has done, he's got people to believe that he doesn't exist. But truly, he does exist. The scriptures teach us that. He goes before Yahweh with the sons of Elohim when we come together to keep the feast. So when you think about some of the issues and the problems when you come together during the calling of the assembly, when it's time for us to keep the feast, what happens? There's strife involved. There are problems that crop up. Especially among family. I mean, there are a lot of issues. A lot of issues that come up. Can a lot of them be avoided? Absolutely. But a lot of them have to be dealt with before the feast anyway. If you have a problem with your brother or sister, it has to be solved before the feast, before the Day of Atonement, before the Passover. So you have two times during the year, but you should do it every day. Because the scriptures teach us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. So if we have issues with one another, we need to solve them daily. Yahweh is blowing the trumpet. The trumpet is being blown for our warning and for us to come together as one people before Yahweh. It says, when you go to war in your land against the adversary that oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh and Elohim. and you shall be saved from your enemies. So Yahweh tells us here in the Word that he's going to save us from our enemies. But I believe we still have to do what's right to receive that salvation. When Yahshua comes to us, which he has, how do we receive the salvation? Through the blood of the Lamb. We were purchased by that blood. Now, what does that mean, being purchased out of the earth? Yahweh died for our sins, brethren. These offerings, these lambs, these bulls, these goats, could not cleanse. They couldn't do it. Because people would just offer more and sin more. But when Yahshua gave his life, we have to look at that and not constantly go back to the same sin. We have to overcome them. Verse 10, also in the day of your gladness, in your set feast, and in the beginning of your months, and we have two of those today, the new moon, which is the beginning of the month, and the feast. Set feast of trumpets. We have a double blessing, a double reason to blow the trumpet. It says, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices and your peace offerings, and they shall be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Now, these offerings that we give, that he's talking about blowing the trumpet over. Now, we give the offerings of our lips. I know in our former affiliation we had issues. They had problems with some of us offering specials and singing praises to Yahweh. But we don't have that excuse anymore, brethren. Why aren't we singing, giving these offerings to Yahweh? Do we not love Yahweh any more than we did in the past? No, we should be singing joyfully. This is what the feast is about. We come before Yahweh to give praise, honor, and glory to him. It says, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yahweh. Now, again, turn over to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. Yahweh is real, brethren. And a lot of people play games with religion, but Yahweh is real. And we have to come before him just that way. Verse 1 of Ezekiel 33, it says, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land and he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. Whereas if he had taken warning, he would have delivered his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword come and blows not the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes to take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. On, I think it was the 700 Club, Pat Robertson, the leader there, he got a question from one of the people, you know, how to give these questions. And the lady asked about her friend that was very devout, but she had not accepted, you know, they believe JC. And she asked Pat, this woman received salvation. And Pat said, well, the Bible says, you know, you have to accept him to be saved. And if she didn't accept him, she's not going to be saved. He just put it out there plainly and pretty basic. Now, of course, we know that they're not in the truth. They don't have the right information. But what Pat said was true. They have to accept Yahshua, who is there before them. He is revealed to them. He has been preached to them. Now, the people have to turn to him so that he can confess each one of us before the Father. Because he's the one. He's the one that we have to go through. See? But the watchmen, each one of us that have made that commitment, when someone comes to us and asks us of that hope that is within us, as a watchman, we have to tell them the truth. We have to tell them that they need Yahshua in their life. They need to accept Yahshua. They need to be baptized. They need to have the gift of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't accept. Then they find that they're dead. It's too late. They have to make that decision. As long as they're of the age of accountability, they must make that decision. Now, of course, we always hear the argument, what about the people who live in outer Slobovia, who've never heard of the Almighty? In the Philippines, when we were with our former affiliation, we had headhunters that had received the word of Yahweh and converted to the faith. The word is out there and is growing. We're hearing from a lot of different areas from the website. I'm getting calls on 800 number for some reason. A lot of them don't seem to come through, but I'm getting these calls. These people are seeking Yahweh. They're seeking Yahshua the Messiah. They're calling us to come to them, to teach them this word so that they can receive that baptism, so they can be a part of Yahshua's kingdom, which is soon coming upon this earth. The kingdom is coming upon this earth, brethren. No one is going to heaven, and the Bible doesn't teach that, neither do we. In verse 7, it says of Ezekiel 33, so you, son of man, I have set you a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Yahweh is telling you to give the people a warning from him. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you did not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his sin, his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he turns not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. You have delivered your soul. And if you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, in this manner you speak, saying, our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are rotting away in them. How then can we live? And too many people feel, oh, I've sinned so much and so bad. How can Yahshua's blood cleanse me? Are they any more special than anybody else? Paul killed those of the assembly, and he was converted. He was turned. How is it that some people believe they're the greatest sinner and cannot be turned back to Yahweh? Verse 11, say to them, as I live, says the sovereign Yahweh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The trumpet is being blown. It's time for everyone to repent and turn from their wicked ways. But that wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall he that is righteous be able to live by it in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his righteousness and commit iniquity, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his iniquity that he has committed, in it shall he die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die if he turns from his sin and does that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restores the pledge, gives again that which he has taken by robbery, walks in the statutes of life. Those statutes are the commandments, brethren. Committing no iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed shall be remembered. And this is the good thing that Yahshua does for us. He has done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. None of his sins in the past will be remembered. Too many people are worried about what they did in the past and not what they're going to do in the future. We have to keep the covenant today because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Remember, they are 9 days starting today that leads up to the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And each day that we go through between now and the Day of Atonement, we need to look seriously at our lives. We need to look seriously at ourselves. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, and we'll look at verses 18 on down to 20. Who is an El like to you that pardons iniquity and passes over transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever, because he delights in loving kindness. Hesed. He will again have compassion upon you. He will have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. And you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will perform the truth to Jacob and the loving kindness to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Now, it's called, in the Jewish people perform, the rabbis do, what they call a tashlik service. And it's based on this passage right here, where they symbolically take the sins of the Jewish people and they walk down to a river or a sea, a large body of water, and they symbolically throw their sins into the sea for this day. Now, if all our sins are cast into the sea, then we don't have anything to repent of or to worry about by the 10th day. You understand? But like I said, it's symbolic. So what we do is we look at our lives daily between now and the Day of Atonement. And we pray that Yahweh removes any iniquity that is within us, any hatred, any problems that we would have with our brother. These things need to be solved. And we don't want the sun to go down on our wrath any day. So every day between now, during these days of awe, we're to look at ourselves, not at anybody else. We don't look at anybody outside. We're not looking at our brother. We're looking at ourselves. And we're solving the problems that we have because we want Yahweh to forgive us. We see this in 1 John, chapter 4. Verse 20, it says, if a man say, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, for he that does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love Yahweh whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves Yahweh love his brother also. Over in 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, everyone that commits sin also transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin. Whoever remains in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Has Yahweh, through Yahshua, destroyed the works of the devil in your life, brethren? Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin, because his seed remains in him. And he may not practice sin, because he is begotten of Yahweh. In this the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh. Neither he that does not love his brother. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loves not lives in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life living in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need, and shuts up his compassion from him, how does the love of Yahweh live in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. By this shall we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before him. Because if our heart condemn us, Elohim is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward Elohim, and whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments lives in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he lives in us, by the Spirit which he gave us. Jeremiah chapter 31. We'll start in verse 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. It says, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was a husband to them, says Yahweh, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Yahweh. For I will forgive their sin, Their iniquity and their sin will I remember no more. In this manner, says Yahweh, who gives the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea so that the waves of it roar, Yahweh of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from me, from before me, says Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. In this manner, says Yahweh, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, then will I also cast off all the seed of Israel for all they have done, says Yahweh. But we know Yahweh is not going to do that. He's going to keep his people before him. He's given us the blessing. He's not changing things. The sun is giving its light, and the moon, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night. These things have been established by Yahweh, and these are part of the covenant. He's keeping that covenant with us. What about us with him? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 13. But we do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so them also that have fallen asleep in Yahshua will Elohim bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of Yahweh, that we that are alive, that are left to the coming of Yahshua, shall in no wise precede them that have fallen asleep. For Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of Yahweh. That trumpet is being blown, brethren. And Yahshua is going to return and descend from heaven. And says, and the dead in the Messiah shall rise first. They're not in heaven. They're rising from the dead. They're being resurrected. As far as the Bikurim, the first fruit. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall come together with them, be caught up in the clouds to meet Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yahshua. Therefore comfort one another with these words. So those that are resurrected are going to rise to meet him, and then we're going to rise to meet him, those that are alive. And then we're coming back to this earth. The kingdom is being set up on this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Start in verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the good tidings which I preach to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preach to you, except you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that the Messiah died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that's found in Isaiah 53. You don't have to turn to it. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he has been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to Jacob, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the untimely born child, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the assembly of Yahweh. But by the grace of Yahweh I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not found vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And you can see that Paul did work hard. He wrote most of the epistles. Yet not I, but the grace of Yahweh which was with me. Whether then it is me or them, so we preach, and so you believe. Now if the Messiah is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has the Messiah been raised. And if the Messiah has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, we are found false witnesses of Yahweh, because we witnessed of Yahweh that he raised up the Messiah, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither has the Messiah been raised. And if the Messiah has not been raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also that have fallen asleep in the Messiah have perished. If we have only hoped in the Messiah in this life, we are of all most pitiful. But now has the Messiah been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in the Messiah shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, the Messiah, the first fruits, and then they that are the Messiahs at his coming. You see the order in which these things are going to happen. Verse 24, then comes the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who did subject all things to him. And when all things have been subjected to him, then shall the Son himself also be subjected to him that did subject all things to him, that Yahweh may be all in all. Else what shall they do that are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why do we also stand in jeopardy every hour? I protest that by the glorying in you, brethren, which I have in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master, I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. If you hang out with people who are not trying to serve Yahweh, if they're trying to serve their own lust, if they just want to get drunk, if they just want to get high, if they just want to do things that are contrary to getting to the kingdom of Yahweh, it's going to affect you, brethren. Awake to soberness. righteously and sin not. For some have no knowledge of Yahweh. I speak this to move you to shame. But some will say, how are the dead raised? And with what manner of body do they come? You foolish one. That which you yourself sow is not made alive except it die. And that which you sow not the body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other kind, but Yahweh gives it a body even as it pleased him, and to each seed a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is also a spiritual body. So it is also written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. We're speaking of Yahshua the Messiah, brethren. However, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the heavens. As is the earthy, such are they that also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they that are also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Because we're following in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah, who had a physical body. He was a man, just like the first Adam. But he became a spiritual Adam. He has something the first Adam didn't have. He did no sin, and Yahweh gave him a position to be our king and our forerunner. He's the first fruit of the spiritual Adam. Verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, at that great trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then the saying shall come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim who gives us the victory through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. The trumpet of Yahweh is going to be blown in the very near future, brother. Are you ready to be called up on high to meet Yahshua in the air? to be a part of that 144,000 who are going to be priests and kings in the kingdom of Yahweh, which is soon coming upon this earth. Brethren, we need to be ready. We need to make and show ourselves approved. Those who have not received the baptism of Yahshua the Messiah need to get it taken care of so that you can be ready, so that you, when Yahshua has that high calling, saying, come up here, we're ready to ascend, to meet him in the air. May Almighty Yahweh bless all those who are seeking to be a part of that kingdom, that soon coming kingdom. In Yahshua's holy name. If you all please rise at this time, I'll ask Brother Davis again to close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, as we come humbly but boldly before your throne of mercy and grace, we ask that you would crown our heads with wisdom so that we can discern and ascertain the time in which it is for our lives. We ask that you will humble our hearts to solve issues on a daily basis and to take away the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. We ask that you would strengthen us to rekindle that love for you, and keep us in truth and sanctify us in thy truth, especially from the lies of man about going to some place called heaven. We ask that you will allow us to have a diligent search in our lives for sin that is lying in our lives. We ask that you would give us love for our brother and perfect us in that love for our brother. We ask that you would continue to crown our heads with wisdom so that we can keep that covenant in which you allowed us to partake of. Allow us to accept the work Messiah did for us and allow us to stand in a readiness for when the trumpet sounds. We ask these and all other blessings right now. We ask that you would replenish your spirit into Elder Davis and Sister Davis. Rejuvenate it, quicken it right now. Continue to crown their head and everybody's head with wisdom so that we can go forward knowing, seal this word in us that we heard today so that we can bring forth fruit unto thy glory. We ask these and all other blessings in your son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now for our closing song,